Well, let's get started here. Good to see everybody there. And Peter, we talked. You wrote me an email in back in June 14th about how long did Paul make it. So we talked about that this morning, about the challenges and about Paul making it to the end and all that stuff. So this morning's sermon is brought to you by Peter Mendez from Massachusetts. So I thought you'd like to know that one. You probably don't even remember writing that email, do you? Oh, dramatic pauses. Yeah, well, the web people see me yawning and open up the mouth like a hog, so. The webcam, if we ever get this thing working, will definitely be more home natural than it was in the past. Well, here, this morning, or no, the Wednesday night, we had a hassle on the internet. We had the hassle on Pal Talk. And, let me just do a quick thing here, because there was a neat little verse in there. Let's just get started. This is a review from Wednesday night. Just a quick one. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. And we're talking about the light. And the light that everybody talks about is in Matthew chapter 5, verse, I'll read that to you here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." My question was, are the good works our light today? Are we supposed to be showing off our good works? Is that the light that we do? And we see from Paul that that is not true. So we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, and you see where he says, in the whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. That's what our light is supposed to be. Then we went to further down the chapter, and we saw, more dramatic pause, we saw in verse 4, it also says, who is the image of God? And when Paul is writing this, you know, Christ is the image of God. But during Jesus' time on this earth, which is back in the Gospels, which the light they were supposed to show was their good works, it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he was not in the image of God down here, not at all. Philippians 2:7, it says, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So he was not in the image of God during the gospel times. And so, why would we go back to the gospels where he was not the image of God, where Paul's gospel is the glorious gospel of the risen Savior, and it's about the goodness of God, not the severity of God, what the Jews had to deal with. So, more dramatic pause. We see that also that down, you keep going down to verse 7 and 12, it's all the way down into that chapter, that the knowledge of the glory of God. Look at verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, it's all about Paul's gospel today, not the gospel. So here's just one more of the many, many, many text verses we see, you know, that take place. In fact, in verse 7 it says here, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And if you're looking back into Matthew 5:17, 5:16, where their works are supposed to be the light, that would have been of us, but it's not of us. It is, it says they're not of us, but it may be of God, the power. And those are the things that Paul talks about, the power of God. So, again, we just see that everybody kind of, you know, this lightless little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What light is that? That's the light of Paul's gospel, the glorious gospel, the knowledge of the glory of God. All of that is through Paul. And how we put that into our lives, it isn't all just works. Of course, we need to do the right thing and stand and all the things that we talk about, that Paul writes about in Timothy and Titus, you know, and all these different places. But it's more than that. It's not just our works. It's just his gospel, what he has done for us and to us. And those are the things that we're supposed to shine in our light on that hill. So that takes care of those things. That was Wednesday night. We're going to do some more things on Wednesday night. So what are we going to do? We are going to do tonight what we were going to have done the night before, Wednesday night. Now, if we were to do a study in the word glorious, we're going to continue that whole sermon and get into glorious. There's only one mention of glorious in the Gospels, and that's the glorious things that Jesus did when he was down there. So that's fine, but that's not the glorious Gospel. The only time glorious is mentioned in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is about the things that Jesus did. Glorious liberty of the children of God, Paul talks about Romans chapter 8. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Paul talks about that, and we know that's not the local assembly, because the local assembly is certainly not without spot or wrinkle. And we look at a key verse, is 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's Paul talking. So 1 Timothy 1:11 reminds us that this whole thing, this glorious gospel that's supposed to be shining our light, is what is Paul teaches us. It was committed to him to teach to us. And then we know the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ in the future. And then way down into the future, we will be fashioned like unto his glorious body ourselves. We will be fashioned like that, which is an amazing thing to think of when you realize, you know. You see, none of that stuff is talked about in the Gospels. So why would they go to the Gospels for their food? It's not. Our food is supposed to be from Paul. And Christ was not the image of God in the Gospel days. And the glorious gospel of the blessed God is to be our light, and that is committed to Paul to teach to us. So just one more example. You know, whether we say things right about Paul's teachings, people will always argue with that, but the argument about whether we should go Paul only is a mute argument, because the scriptures are totally clear on that one. If that makes sense. Oh, and I didn't click I hope you're getting this, Mark, because I forgot to click my record. Well, this is just all reviews, so we can still do it anyway. So you missed the review. So here we are. We're going to go to 2 Peter for tonight, the new stuff tonight. I guess if I end up using my recording because Mark doesn't have his, then you will have missed the review from Wednesday night about the glorious gospel of Christ committed to Paul's trust. That's what we're supposed to shine as our light. Notes are online. 2 Peter chapter 1 for the newbie stuff tonight. And this is one that I've used as a pastor a long time ago, many, many times. A more sure word of prophecy. We always went to that one to show people. See, this King James Bible, it goes beyond the times when people spoke. And because it says there, we got here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. We get on to verse 21, we see where it says, they were moved by the Holy Ghost, they spake. And so we use the King James Bible now today to show that that's what we're talking about, the more sure word of prophecy in verse 19. Well, you know, we got the right idea, but there's something wrong with this. I kept looking at that thinking, you know, that really doesn't ever even hint towards the King James Bible. But we always use it as such, a proof text. And then we have to remember when Peter was writing this stuff. This stuff was all written before Paul. So before Paul came along, and then before the King James Bible came along, this is when this was taking place. And if we go back to verse 15, just read this from verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, that's Peter. Now, Peter's talking here. And so, yes, Peter was before Paul, right? Peter was Acts 1 to verse chapter 8. And Peter was in a little bit involved even in the first part of Paul's ministry. But why? Because he was going to the Jews. He had some Gentiles get involved in there, but that was the Jews and the Gentiles. That was all Great Commission. Peter was still involved with the risen Savior, but that was during that Great Commission time. You just remember Acts 1 through 8, Peter's in there. Acts 9, 10, 11, 12, Peter's in there a little bit, but he's fading out because the Great Commission's fading out. And Paul steps in to take the place. Paul never did preach the Great Commission, as we call it today. He was never involved with that. That was always Peter. So when Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter, he would be talking like he is here. He says in verse 16, do 15 again, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, whom you made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew he was coming, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that's what we call the Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So they heard that. They heard him talk. But now he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He's not talking about the King James Bible at all here. He's talking about this fact that we read coming up here. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture, this is the things that they've told people, and they've got the Old Testament Scriptures there, is of any private interpretation. And he says right here, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And if we go back and we realize this is before Paul, then we know what he's talking about here. Yes, these guys were given the things to speak, and they did. They did speak that stuff. And so, yes, a more sure word of prophecy is beyond just the Transfiguration. Nobody comes up with their own scriptures. This prophecy, which is the preaching and the teaching and the word of God and everything, was not put together by men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So those are the words that came from, but that's not King James Bible. How can you say that that's not the King James Bible? First of all, it can't be, because this is Peter, and this was written before Paul. What's Paul got to do with it? Well, we go to my classic verse that I love, that everybody seems to not like around this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That Paul knew that at some time in the future, this prophecy that Peter was talking about, this more sure word of prophecy, all these things these guys were saying because the Holy Ghost spoke it to them. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay, that prophecy, more sure word of prophecy, the prophecy came not in old time, that prophecy was only done in part, as God knew they could take. Because it says in verse 8, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. When? When is what these guys saying going to no longer work? When that which is perfect has come. Then that which is in part, that's those prophecies from those guys, is gone. It'll be done away. And that's, if that's not the King James Bible, then we're still with, then the Pentecostals are right. Everybody can have signs and wonders and gifts and miracles, and these guys can still continue to speak as God moved them, as they say in the pulpits today. God told me to say this. Well, God can tell us what to say because it's going to come from your Bible reading. And you can easily say, God told me to say this. Yeah, it's in your Bible. But if you think God's going to give you that sermon just out of the blue without your Bible, unless you're based on scriptures that you've already learned as you drive down the road, which I've done many times. I'm driving down the road, I'm thinking of these scriptures, and I'm thinking of this and that. I'm not being moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm just recognizing scriptures being applied to us today because the Holy Ghost spoke to me through my Bible, King James Bible. So my point is, very simple little short part here, the classic verses in 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 to 21, have nothing to do with us today. Now, this goes back on Peter's shoulders, before Paul, before 1 Corinthians 13:10, before King James Bible. King James Bible comes along, that which is perfect when it comes, and it has come. Then what these guys were preaching and teaching, that's no longer going to happen anymore. They'll fail, because we're not going to be hearing from God like that. We got these pastors that go in there and they say, God's made me say what he made because I was moved by the Spirit of God or whatever. The unction, the anointing that they claim to have. They're getting all this from Peter, and this stuff from Peter was all well before Paul. Now it's in the back of the Bible, which means this is what's going to be happening during the tribulation again. They will have a King James Bible available, although it might not be available because it's going to be on a famine basis. But this is how things will be taking place during the tribulation, not today. And based on the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10. So that's another teaching that I learned and passed on to many people, and which I hadn't, which is why I despise the religion that I preached and taught. And well, it's just the way it goes. And you reap what you sow and you live with it, or die with it, whatever. Let's go to part two tonight. I guess it might be part three if you consider part one a review. And we're going to look at the word sheep. We're just going to recognize that this is another claim people make, that when they go through the what I call the tribulation books, Hebrews through Jude, and all those references to sheep are referring to us. And when these guys preach, they talk about us being, you know, sheep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he's our shepherd. Yeah, he's a great shepherd, but is he our shepherd as such? Well, he is for the sheep. But Paul never refers to us as sheep. Matter of fact, well, I'll save what Paul says about it till we get into this thing. Let's go to Matthew, and let's look up some references about sheep. We're going to look at what the Gospels, some of the verses the Gospels say about sheep. And then we're going to look and see what Paul says about sheep. And then we're going to see what the word sheep does in the tribulation. Is that us? No, it's not us. Again, why do we know that? One, we know Hebrews through Jude is tribulation to the Jews. Two, Paul never talks about us as sheep, other than as, well, I shouldn't say as sheep, but he's not calling us sheep. So Paul never refers to us as sheep, or the shepherd. We need the shepherd. That's a Jewish thing, and here's why. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Okay, so there's a reference, the first reference to them as sheep. Those were his people. Matthew, you want me to give you the references and go through all these? Matthew 26:31. Jesus said, then Jesus saith unto them, and all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now another word that we have to be careful with, and that's the word scattered. Because scattered does come up in Peter's writings. And are we of that scattered? Now, I have scattered on the website, scattered Christians. Now, if I'm not careful, that could be referring to the Jews, if I were to be using it in the manner of a title. But I'm not. I'm not. It's a reference to show the fact that all of us are scattered around the country, around the world as such. Now, is that what he's talking about? Yeah, you'll see the word scattered as we go into the thing, except I don't see my paper for scattered. Why is my study for scattered not here? Maybe I don't need it. Maybe I got it written down here. So, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. No, that's the sheep that are being scattered. He says it again in Mark 14, verse 27. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Totally Jewish. John 16. Skip a couple of them. We go to John 16, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, that's the Jews, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father was with me. So that's all a reference to Jews being scattered. Now let's go to Acts chapter 8. Whoops. Oh, look at that. There was my scattered notes right there. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 6, okay? These all fit together, no problem. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, there's a classic. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Okay, there's an as, there's a comparison. But he's still comparing them to sheep. Matthew 15:24, again he says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not sent to the Gentiles. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So why should the Gentiles now go back and study that stuff? Anyway. Matthew 26:31. which I did read that one already, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now if we look at Luke 15:6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. That's Peter talking. If you look back at the verses, that's Peter talking there, by the way. Peter was concerned about the Jews. Well, I think we know why. Because Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, I think it is. I want to dig it up here. Galatians chapter 2. When he's, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same as mighty me toward the Gentiles. Verse 7. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, as the gospel of the circumcision, that's the Jews, was unto Peter. So Peter was always after the Jews. He was always going out to the Jews. And there were times he went to the Gentiles, but like I said, the Great Commission was full of signs and wonders, and that's exactly what Peter said would take place. So all these writings from Peter are to the Jews, because that's who he was writing to in the first place. Let's keep going back to some more here. John chapter 10, verse 3. John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep shall hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. That's kind of an elected type concept there. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, we've always used that comparison. Well, if you know your King James Bible, then you'll have the real Christ, because you're recognized, and that's just preaching is all that is. It's not a proper application. John chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus said unto them, verily, saying to you, I am the door of the sheep. You know, he's talking to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says in verse 14, chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. This is all the Jews. Then he says in John chapter 10, verse 16, and this might be a kicker for some people, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, I've heard it said that, his reference to other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, he must go get them. They say that's the Gentiles. Okay, one, it can't be the Gentiles because the Gentiles have never looked to a sheep. Two, why is this not just a plain old physical example of when he says, other sheep I have, that's other Jewish people, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that's right there in his presence, right there. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. They'll all come together to follow him. That was the plan. That other sheep I have is not us. One, we're not sheep. And he's just talking about other people from the tribe from Israel. He's got to go get them. We make that into way too deep what it says here. So there's reference upon reference. This is going to go quick tonight, I can tell. There's reference upon reference in the Gospels, especially this is just Matthew and John, about the sheep. He says it in John again, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they will follow me. And he says here to Peter, John 21:16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep, which means I made an incorrect statement. Back when I said Luke 15:6 was Peter, that was not Peter. I wrote that in the wrong page right there. That is this reference right here. When we're looking at John 21:16, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Peter's job was to feed the sheep. Peter's job was to feed the Jews, Israel. Peter's job was to take the Great Commission, take it out to the Jews, and more into the Gentiles out of it. And he did all that. That's what's written in early Acts. Even some of that takes place in Paul's first couple of chapters of Acts, since Paul gets a hold of it. Then we go to Acts 8:32. That's still before Paul. The place of Scripture which reads was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. That's just a comparison of how he was led to the cross. And now we go to Paul. What does Paul say about this stuff? Paul says what was just read there in Acts 8:32. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That doesn't mean we're sheep. We're just going to be slaughtered like they slaughter the sheep. But that's all Paul says about sheep. So we are not looked upon as sheep. I did a message a long time ago. I looked up the characteristics of a sheep, and they're pretty dumb. I don't remember any of the other characteristics, but that's the one I remember. And I said to the folks, I remember saying this, we don't have to be dumb like those sheep. Well, now I look back and I realize what I should have been saying. We're not those sheep. We are not the dumb sheep. Christ gave us the entire Bible to have everything. We do not have any reason to be dumb. So my conclusion was correct, but my way about it was wrong. My way about it now, obviously, is we are not sheep. We have the Word of God written down. We have no excuse to say, well, I didn't know that. Why didn't you know that? Well, I didn't have a church to go to or a pastor or anything like that. Well, didn't I give you a Bible? Well, yeah. So we are without excuse, really. We're not dumb like sheep because we are not sheep. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Remember, Hebrews to Jews, this is tribulation stuff. This is Jewish. And we see the reference here where it says Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, going back, you know, he was their shepherd. We see in 1 Peter 2:25, and this is the one they use to show that this is the Gentile. No, this isn't talking about Gentiles at all. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Gentiles, we've never gone astray. We were never there in the first place. So we haven't returned unto the shepherd. We never had the shepherd. So, again, this whole thing started out, I just wish people would realize that Hebrews to Jude is not to us. And it's there for doctrine. That's for their gainsayers. It's there for doctrine. It's there for correction. It's there for instruction in righteousness and reproof. Yes, for during the tribulation. It's not doctrine to us today. Doesn't need to correct us today. Doesn't need to be our instruction in righteousness. In fact, you know, just because I'm winging for time here, I'm not sure if you're all aware of this, but many years ago when I was dealing with abusive marriages, or just abuse in the home period, I was in an abusive home, and we had to take her there because that's just what you have to do. This guy was horrible. Oh, okay, I'll give in. I'll go in there. And they had on the wall of in that place why they hate Christians, you know, why they hate the Christian teaching. And they showed one of the excuses abusive men give is in 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And I remember sitting there in that chair looking at that poster. That's, you know what? That's not right. This is in my super early Paul days. I said, there's another reason why this is wrong. Because Paul doesn't say that. Peter says that. And during the tribulation, divorce will be a huge no-no. And during the tribulation, those ladies better stay with it. And they can be the example. And maybe they'll win their husband. Why do you say that? Because that's what Peter says right here. But in Paul's writing, Ephesians chapter 5, go back to Ephesians, let me show you something here. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And Peter says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You'll be scared to death of your husband, or I guess not his, vice versa. But that's tribulational stuff. Now you stay with them no matter what. But isn't that just a massive subject out east, especially? I mean, you guys hear that all the time out there. And Paul says, yes, submit yourselves unto him. But there's something else that Paul says that people still can't get a hold of. And I think, if I go by my memory, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yeah, he talks about it's okay to depart from each other. If there's no, God has called us to peace in verse 15. And so if there's no peace in that situation, it can be dealt with. One of the ways it can be dealt with is to break it up. And when he says that you shouldn't get married again, he also says in verse 28, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. So why does he recommend not getting married the second time? Well, the first one didn't work. Why do you think the second one's going to work? And yet if you do, it's not a sin. It might be a dumb move. Might be the best move you've ever made, because he says, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. People that are divorced or remarried, they have trouble in the flesh. They've got legal things. They've got child support. They've got different children. It's a tough thing. I mean, there's baggage that comes with all that stuff. But see, Paul teaches it different than what Peter does in 1 Peter chapter 3. So, 1 Peter, we're not sheep. We're not sheep today. Any reference to sheep in the tribulation books, as they call them, Romans to Philemon. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Romans to Philemon. That's Paul's writings. But Hebrews to Jude, those sheep are not referring to us. Referring to the Jews. So again, we have our pastors, our preachers, going to 1 Peter chapter 3 to scare people not into divorcing. I'm not for divorce. God is not for divorce. But he made it possible with his dispensation in Paul's day. Grace. Hey, if it's not working and there's a disaster there, and Bible, and it can't serve me, and one of them has to be a believer, one of them's not a believer, and if the non-believer says you can live like a Christian, then yeah, you don't get a divorce. But if one says you can't do this, then Paul says, hey, the Lord says you can step out. You can leave. I don't recommend to get married again, but if you do, it's not a sin. So there's that famous divorce remarriage issue that these guys all have. And as right as the men are about they can get divorced and they can get back in the pulpit again if they are, you know, da-da-da-da, remarried, et cetera, but the way they explain it is not right. They just need to explain the difference between Peter and Paul, right to divide, and say things like, yes, during the tribulation, you will not want to get a divorce. It can actually, as you read anything, it'll affect your salvation, it'll affect your prayer life, all that stuff. That's not written to us. So I'm just kind of sitting back here looking at more reasons. Not that any of you folks need any more reasons, but, you know, we've talked about the prophecy thing in Peter for years. Now we understand that thing. We've talked about the sheep and people, how they use that for proof that we're in the, no, we're not in the tribulation as sheep. It's all Jewish stuff. The prophecy thing, that's all Jewish stuff before the King James Bible. The divorce issue, the remarriage issue. In the tribulation, yeah, you don't. But today, if you have to, you have to. And you do. And God isn't going to thank you for it. In fact, you can get a divorce for the wrong reason, and God still isn't going to thank you for it. That's why these people are getting divorces for some of the dumbest reasons in the world, and God still isn't stepping in, because he's not going to. But if you want to be assured that your divorce was legit, then you get in here, look at what Paul says about it, and you'll find out that your preacher and your courts and everything are after the abusive man, because they taught him in the churches at 1 Peter chapter 3, well, ladies, you better stick with your husband no matter what, or God will just look down upon you and chastise you, and you'll be out of the picture, and that whole threat thing. That's just, I think one of the things we're dealing with here when we talk about Paul only is we really start going after the pastors from what they're preaching in the pulpits today. And again, I have to say it, they're nice people, a lot of them. Nice, loving, sweet, effeminate community leaders, all that kind of stuff. But they're wrong. They're ministers of righteousness. They're of the devil, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, Let's go on here for a couple more minutes. Now, let's look at this scatter thing just for a second here. We read some of the verses in John and Mark about, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. So we know the sheep have been scattered. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Let's finish this up with Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And he says here, and Saul was consenting unto his death. This is Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay, so yes, they were scattered. And we look at Acts chapter 8, verse 4, and it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Okay, I better get to this page here. Look at Acts chapter 11. I'm going to show you something here. Is this all referring to Paul? No, it's not. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Acts chapter 11. Okay, verse 19. And it goes on that they were scattered. You know, these are the people that were the, these are the church which was at Jerusalem, Jewish people that are saved. And it said they were scattered abroad everywhere preaching the word. So there were Gentiles that got saved, as we read in the first chapters after Paul. It says in verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Okay, that takes us back to Acts 1, so that makes it all tying in together. And it says, traveled as far as Phoenicia or Phenis and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. How can that be? Well, this is all Peter's involved in this yet. And again, this is carryover from the Great Commission. Now, if we go to James chapter 1, verse 1, of course we know that one. 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That's a little obvious, don't you think? Now, we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Is he being sent to the Gentiles? How can this be? Easily. Great Commission. This Peter stuff was written before Paul. Does that make sense? People have to remember when they read Peter that it was written before Paul. So any reference that is in there, the few that are in there towards the Gentiles, yeah, Great Commission time. But the Jews were there, and he was doing it through the Jews. Which we know that in Acts, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So just because they can find one or two verses that makes it look like Peter was going off to the Gentiles, that certainly doesn't make us claim 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, and Jude. We don't claim that stuff. That was written to the that he was going to be around those few Gentiles that showed up in those situations. So, the tribulation, they'll be following the law. And if the Gentiles want in on it, just like during the Great Commission, they're going to have to follow the law. And Peter's the one they're going to have to follow, not Paul. But we know today, we're to follow Paul and not Peter. Those people that think that we're in the tribulation today, I can see why they might think that more and more in the news. I mean, all these things are taking place. It's just like tribulational stuff. But there's two reasons I know we're not in the tribulation. One, we're here. And two, nobody has to take the mark yet. We're taking it out of choice, and we're working in the systems, but it hasn't come yet. And when it does, A, we'll be out of here, because we know the falling away is including falling away from Paul's teachings, even the Paul people. So we're seeing clues, we're seeing the design of the tribulation already setting itself up for the big final act. But I'm very glad that we don't have to follow Revelation 14, where it says, and they have no rest day or night, which we don't, you know, really, who worship the beast and his image. We're not doing that yet. It's being set up to be, though. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They'll have to keep the faith of Jesus. In other words, they can lose the faith of Jesus. I don't understand that, but that's what it says. That is not my problem. So I know we're not in the tribulation. So those are, anyway, those references in Peter to the Gentiles, the few that are in there are being references to the Gentiles before Paul, and that's called the Great Commission. Yeah, the Great Commission was legitimate, Mark chapter 16 to the end, but not today. Which, again, I'll say one more time, is why they take all those verses, Mark chapter 16, 9 to the end of the chapter, they take them out of all these new Bibles so people can't figure out this whole Great Commission thing. And the preachers and pastors today, under the devil's guidance, as nice as they are preaching a false gospel. They're preaching a false gospel of righteousness, their own righteousness, not the righteousness of God. They're preaching a faith, their own faith, not the faith of Jesus Christ. They're preaching against sinning, but they don't tell anybody what Christ did about sin. And it's a major, major deception today. And the only way you can figure it out is with a rightly divided King James Bible, and few people want to hear it. Because when they do, then the reasonable service is to turn your living body into a sacrifice, living sacrifice. And who wants to do that? So, here's hoping this all got recorded properly. Here's hoping I can figure out the camera, get this stuff online, get that back to going again. And what you're talking about, Willie, I hope you would have heard that kind of stuff. I didn't figure you did, but listen to it later. Wise up to what the devil's doing to good people. So, folks, there you go tonight. We'll see you. Take care of your week, Bob and Jeanette. I'm glad you're doing better. Daniel, keep taking care of your mother. Peter, thanks for the sermon for Wednesday night. They kind of carried over tonight anyway. And look at, get on that website and check up those. Check up that challenge sheet and see if you recognize any of those challenges we have on a daily basis. And see how God's delivered you out of them or will deliver you in due time. Just give it a look and let me know. I'd like to hear from some people. Well, I always say that. We're all too busy. I don't write back any better. It took me from June 14th to finally answer Peter's email. So, he does. Okay, I'm glad Dan's a good guy. So, good night, folks. Good night, everybody.